This session, we're going to do a bit of a Q&A, a conversation with Pastor Dave. So those of you, who know him, he's been here since the genesis of the church. In 2005, you became a pastor here. Is that about right? Kind of the glue that holds many things together so that we can do what we do and to give Pastor John the freedom to come and exposit the text on Sundays. So a very important role. And the question that we have that we want to discuss is, when it comes to holiness, how do you continue pursuing holiness when the wheels fall off, so to speak, when life gets difficult? And many of you have that going on in your lives right now in different areas. But specifically, how do you pursue holiness in the midst of grief, a season of grief? Right, all that Dave has been through in his family. So that's kind of the direction we're going. We want to get some wisdom, some insight from him about how we can pursue holiness, and specifically in his case related to grief. So let's quickly pray, and then I'll just ask Dave some questions. Thank you, Lord, for what has already occurred here today. Thank you for Pastor John and Dave's teaching that have challenged and convicted us and caused many of us to think we should just leave. But we so desire this thing called holiness, and we thank you for the grace that will enable us to continue to pursue it. So lead this time might be glorifying to you, that our iron might be sharpened by our brother Dave. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Dave, question number one, what do pigs give their fathers on Father's Day? Lots of hugs and kisses.
That's good, Joe.
Trying to loosen you
Drop
up.
Drop the mic. There you go.
Trying to loosen you up, you know.
Ouch. Wow. Yeah. How am I going to beat that?
Yeah. Don't try. So let's start with this. Everybody knows some about you, but tell us a little bit about who you are, like where you grew up, what life was like growing up, what your family was like, what high school was like. You an athlete, non-athlete, thinking about faith at all? Tell us about your early years. Help us get to know you.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. I'm always real cautious with this, and I'm being very serious. Like if someone say, hey, you want to give your testimony? Prior to 28 years old, and by God's grace, him awakening me and saving me, I'm very discreet on what I talk about my past life because it was who I was. There would have been some things in the flesh. You'd be like, hey, that's prideful. And you could think like, yeah, I was. And then most of it is, I am so ashamed of what I was before Christ. I grew up in a good household. My mom was awesome. My dad's laughing over there. I'm joking. No, my folks got saved when I was younger. It was a middle-class household, tons of friends, lots of fun. Very competitive. It's my dad's fault. My brother's 14 months older than me. I don't know. I think we were about 5 and 6, and my dad got us these things called soccer boppers for Christmas. You blew up these boxing gloves, and we just walked in the garage and just beat the crud out of each other. And that's the way it always was. It was, here's a basketball, here's a football. We just compete and we go. So was always playing sports, always just living life, doing things. I was a horrible student. I wasn't compliant, let's say, obedient. I was that kid when I joke about, hey, there's the obedient one and there's the other one. That was definitely me. Truly, there was one important person in my life until I was 28, and it was myself. Played sports in high school, played a sport in college. Y'all know, it's just, and you just sort of lived your life your own way. On the outside, it looked good. On the inside, I was dead. It was dead. Honestly, Joe, it's a hard thing because I still have unsaved friends from back then, and it's just the kind of thing that I really try not to reflect a lot about it. And you know, this might sound weird, but I'm just because I never want to look back on that stuff and go, "Oh, those were good times," because everything about being unsaved was ungodly. Everything was tainted with things of the flesh. So I'm a guy that I can complain about nothing. And the trouble I had was self-inflicted. Everyone would say, that was great. That must have been fun. That must have, when I was a dead man, it was fun. But as a born-again person, honestly, bro, it's just like, When I got saved, Joe, I literally, like dealing with the Lord, it's like I felt like I needed to get a legal name change because the change was so significant. No, it was significant. It was awesome. I was born in New York. My dad was an instructor at West Point Military Academy. We moved to California. I lived a life, went to college, did all that kind of stuff. Met my wife. There it is. There's the blessing of having gone to college. God introduced me to Rachel. And at that time, I can honestly say it was probably the worst thing. That young lady, she was a freshman and I was a senior in college and she was in Christian clubs and everything. And I know God's sovereign and why she started dating me unsaved. Went to church for years with my folks, but I was not saved. And she started dating me. And unfortunately, she stopped going to Christian clubs, stopped going to church and everything. Why? Because I wasn't interested in it. And that's who I was before Christ. No interest whatsoever. So I have this thing with me, you guys. I don't get offended by much when I deal with people with sin and when I'm asked to come and talk to the lost. I know what it is to be lost and I know what sin is, and it's the kind of thing I don't get offended by much, because who am I to judge? Because I know the wickedness of the flesh. But it's all good.
So how long were you married before you were born again? And was Rachel born again when you got married?
Man, you know what, Joe? My dad knew my wife. She always wanted to go to church. She always wanted to do things, but she wanted me to be with her, and I had no interest in it. She owned a Bible. She read a Bible. I didn't own a Bible. We were married 3.5 years before I got saved.
Is this a true statement? Your wife said to you, "I would never have a child with a man like you"?
Her actual words were, "I would never have a child with you because I would not want to reproduce you." Straight.
Well, that's sweet.
No, I'm serious. And a lot of you in this place knew Rachel, and that was her straight words, said kindly and politely, but it was point blank.
So there's Josh and Grace. So what changed?
Salvation, literally. I mean, you guys, everyone's walk's going to be different, but the Holy Spirit was amazing. When the Lord saved me, it wasn't a process of thinking things through and pondering. It was, y'all remember the Christian bookstore by Mervyn's? If you lived here long enough, you remember that. It was a Saturday morning. I didn't own a Bible. I was at that place when it opened. My wife was still in bed and mad at me for how I behaved the night before. And no, seriously, I bought a Bible. I went home. I started plowing that bad boy. I remembered from growing up, there was two books I remembered just that were important, Romans and John. And just started devouring it, just starting to devour it. So, you know, Joe, I know that she always had a tenderness. We talked about this a lot. She had a tenderness for the Lord and really, but it was only by his grace that she put up with me. And it really made me sad as she was passing to just realize how much I derailed her in spiritual things, you know? So there was 4 years of dating and 3.5 years of marriage. And I derailed any growth that she would have had. And I unfortunately know that's on me.
Interesting, right? That's a learning point for all of us, that we have people in our lives that we do not want to derail. And every dad who's got adult kids instantly thinks of things that we have done, right? That we wish we would not have done. Yeah. But then your life changed dramatically because both you and your wife were in ministry. She was in charge of children's ministry here for many years, counseled at a Christian school. You left your career field as a teacher and came on here full-time as staff. What led to your both saying, "We're committed to serving Christ"? Because clearly, you can do real estate. You can make money lots of ways, but you decided to.
How many of you guys before Christ? You remember BC? If you remember before Christ, God in his sovereignty in that province, God had given a skill set to me. Okay? Had trained me in things. I had aptitudes and things, and not me seeking the Lord or anything. He had aptitudes. And it was the same thing for my wife. And then by grace, when you come to saving faith, those aptitudes that he's given you now get used for a different means. Yeah? Anybody all know what I'm talking about? Okay. So when that thing comes, Joe, that's literally who we were. That was the stuff we were doing. She and I in college both worked for the city when I was in grad school and everything. And it was helping the down and out, the needy, the very similar thing to the leaven, doing all these things, even outside of Christ. It was like, folks need help and you want to help people be the best version that they possibly can be. And I didn't think I was earning merit for anything. It was just like, man, these people got it hard. Let's help them out. And so that was always sort of the driving thing. That's why I went into teaching. That's why she was originally a teacher. And then by God's grace, when I got saved, those intentions of the flesh now had a whole different meaning in the spirit and how they could be used. And it was like, this is why you gave me this gifting, was to be used for your glory. So it was pretty like lickety split that we just started applying ourselves. When I was a public school teacher, I was still helping, you know, with the children's ministry and stuff here and doing that. And it was just brought great joy to have a purpose in what you're doing. Whereas before, it was, you know, a paycheck type thing and for the glory of the Lord. Yeah.
I don't think I have to point out every learning point, but I hope we're tracking, right? So God had knit him together in the womb with certain skill sets. And when he saved him, he began applying them in the body of Christ. So Pastor John would say, what about you? Are you applying the skill set you have in the body of Christ or anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Anyway.
How long were you married when the problems with Rachel began? And how old were your kids at that time? What was going on in your family when all of a sudden you realized there was something not right?
Well, interestingly enough, she was 18. I was 21 when we met. We got married. She was 22, 23. A lot of people don't know this, but at 25, she started to have certain health problems. And there was even some questions about having kids, all this kind of stuff. It's the problem she had. And the types of problems she had were indicators of greater problems. So we probably tried from the time she's about 26, 27 to about the time she was 35, 36. She was never able to get life insurance because of these markers. It was like, you're a high risk thing. So a lot of people don't know that. The cancer that she passed of, they say wasn't related to that, but it is what it is. But she, that girl, yeah, I know. That sweet kid as her body never quite worked right. So there was always some health problems. But as far as the cancer diagnosis goes, Joe, she was 44. And, that would have made Gracie was sophomore, in high school. And my son had just finished his senior year. So going into a junior year and starting his freshman year of college. Yeah, and the diagnosis was not going to live 2 years.
Yeah. Okay, so when you got the diagnosis, it was one of those cancer diagnoses where I said, "Well, here's your chances. You got a death sentence right away."
Yeah, no doubt. There was no. It was the guy was straightforward. He even used the word bucket list. He said it. He says, "What you have, radiation, chemo, nothing works. Surgeries, and they've removed a lot of her intestines and everything." He says, "We can do surgeries, but at some point, all of it's going to seize up, lock up," which it did, and you die, period.
Can we talk through the reality of what it was like to pursue holiness at the moment of diagnosis over the years, and then we can talk about when she passed?
And y'all that have gone into hardships, you know how things can work. When her diagnosis first came and we understood what it really was, I feel embarrassed saying this, but the brokenheartedness was really more of she's my buddy. I mean, I know God made that woman for me, but my brokenheartedness was, she's going to be gone. What about me? I'm very serious. And it's shameful to even think of that, but that's what the flesh does. Oh my goodness. My person's going to be gone. What about me? What about me? That changed sort of quickly. And, you know, Joe, I got to tell you, man, it is what it is. I was not happy with God. I was not. I worked here and I was not happy at all with the Lord, because one of those initial things is like, what's up? I mean, like, really? I could give him a laundry list of people that should have been stricken with cancer, because you play this game in your head of, come on, Lord, this girl loves you and serves you. Why not And I won't name any of your names. You know what I mean? But in my head, I was doing it, man. I was doing it, you know? But no, that's what the flesh does. We deserve better than this. And I'm being raw with you guys because I don't even like to talk about it. It embarrasses me. We deserve better than this. Why would you do this? Our partnership, how we serve you. My kids are going to be left without this wonderful, strong woman. And so the Lord and I did a dance. There was a lot of tears, and it was usually somewhere close to 3 a.m. every single night for months that I was awakened. And I cried and I prayed and we wrestled and, but just God in his divine providence and as he worked me through scripture, I was just in awe of his grace. And just to literally think that some punk kid like me you saved, and even though my buddy's going to go early, she's going to glory. And just what amazing, amazing, amazing thought. So it just really started to change things and just change my perspective. I mean, my wife had an expression of not like make your months or days or weeks or whatever count. She was like, make every second count. Make your seconds count. And it just became this perspective. Everything is about the glory of the Lord. You do not know the time that you have. Make those seconds count. Everything can be purposeful for the glory of the Lord. Make it purposeful. So that depth of it, it was a journey.
You know, it's interesting. Another Rachel phrase that really struck me and this stuck with me is feel all the feelings.
Yeah.
So I think one of the important things you just shared with us is that we're human, and so things will happen, and we'll be like, this is wrong. We'll be angry. And sometimes people feel like I can't be angry with God. Well, if you are angry, he knows it. So
Yeah. Whether
you say, I'm frustrated, I'm angry about this is wrong, or you try to pretend that, I never said that. I would never say to God, I'm angry. No, he knows it if you are. I mean, there's a reality that there's a lot of things. Think about the things that you've been frustrated with over the last few months that at the moment now seem kind of minor compared to what Dave just described. And your response was, as mine is often, really? But the joy is what you just described, Dave, as he walks you through the process of that original feeling and then reminds you by the Spirit and his word who he is. How would you define the word grief? What does it look like?
You know, Joe, here's one of the things, and I appreciate the eldership at this church. I appreciate the way John preaches from the pulpit in the context of just the expository preaching and preaching it for what it truly is. Emotions can be very deceiving. Emotions can be very deceiving. And so for me, Joe, grief was a very interesting thing because it's a place of sadness. But what overwhelmed me with the Lord was when you talk about the peace that surpasses all understanding, in that place of sadness, Joe, the deep contentment in Christ helped to push that down. Because it's like you're sad and you're working through some emotions, but letting those emotions, I became very, don't let the emotion deceive me, because I have to see the bigger picture. I remember when my kids were sort of younger. I don't know. My son was probably about 5 or 6, and we were in a far off land in a big, huge museum. And there was this wall that was all Rembrandt paintings. And I kid you not, they're as tall as, you know, this place. And we walked into the gallery and my son, like 5 years old, looks and he goes, what? And I said, no, buddy, see on the other side of the hall there, there's couches to sit on. You have to walk on that side of the room to see the picture because it's so big. From where he was standing and he walked in, it was so massive, he couldn't make sense of what it was. When he sat at the other side, he goes, oh, pirates. Because it was like, you know, that type of painting. Because you had to step back to be able to see the whole picture. And one of the things about the emotion is in the moment you're in, you don't see the bigger picture. deep breath. Help me, Lord, to step back. Like that's, I literally pictured that, Joe, my son in the gallery. Come on, buddy. And I walked him back to the other side of the gallery and we sat down and he smiled because he could see it. He could see all the details and he was pointing to things. And in that thing of grief, I'm right here in this moment right now. Don't be deceived. Help me to see the bigger picture, Lord. Help me to see the bigger picture, because your love, your providence, all of that, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Help me to see the bigger picture. Otherwise, man, like the wave, you get swept away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's grief. The wave is a great picture of grief, right? Because you don't see it coming. Yeah. It hits you. It's emotional, and then it passes. But he remains God.
Absolutely.
He remains God.
Absolutely.
You brought up Josh. How does a man walk his kids through the loss of mom, or how do these men walk through their kids through any part of life that gets really difficult?
Kids are different. Their personalities are different. My son is very clinical, very science oriented. He and his mother had an incredibly amazing relationship. She homeschooled him most of the time. They had a bond that was very unique. He loved his mom deeply. When he was in his med program in Knoxville, every day after class, he called her driving home. When he was doing rotations, he called her driving home. They talked. He understood what she had. He would talk her through it, encourage her. He saw these things very clinical. Like he would tell me, Dad, this is what's going to happen. And that's just, here's what's happening. This is what this type of cancer does. There's this issue. It's repeating. This is what's going to happen. Just cherish each moment. Just love mama. Just because it's going to happen to all of us. He saw that. He sees it now. He sees it very clinically. And Josh is a good kid. He loves the Lord. He's just this honest little soul, and he did a lot of processing of it. My daughter, Precious, John knows her very well, been Allie's buddy since what, they were two or three. Gracie keeps everything inside. That was hard, bro. That was hard, because she had a feeling that if she didn't see it or hear it or talk about it or anything, it wouldn't happen. So she did not connect real well with Rachel, because she didn't want to, and, you know, it broke my heart, but probably about 2 weeks after Rachel passed, Gracie was staying with me for a little while, and she walks in my room, and she starts crying, and I said, what's up, sweetie? And she goes, I now realize I've spent the last 4 years mad at God. She goes, I spent the last 4 years mad at God, and I said, okay, and she goes, no, Dad, because I was mad at God, I didn't deal with mom and love mom like I should have. I made that this, how could you? And she was just like, I'm brokenhearted by it. And I'm like, well, you know, let's deal with that, baby. It was rough. It was rough, because as she was sick, you just tried to stay positive and encouraging. And, you know, the daughter more than the son was, why would God let this happen? How could this? And you know, you guys, when hardship hits your household, I don't care what it is. Some of y'all, it could be illness. It could be the loss of the job and the finances absolutely disappear, whatever it may be. You've got these younger ones looking at you going, explain this to me. How, with a loving God, how does this happen? And you really have to take them to scripture and walk them through these things so that they understand. Because if you don't do that job faithfully, guys, they then in their own heads create what they think the truth is about God, and then it's trouble. Even in your own sorrow and your own hurting, you can't neglect that. You have to walk them through the truth of scripture, because you know you're going to work through it, but you have to work really hard with your youngins to make sure they understand the truth of scripture and they don't get derailed by emotions and feelings or what the outside world would say.
And you still have that, right? You have these two adult kids who are watching you.
Yeah,
and
I do.
Worried about you and wondering if you're eating mac and cheese and every night.
Did anybody see my refrigerator at baptisms? Anybody? Just one, two? What did I have in my fridge, Tim? Nothing. I had a sack of cheese and this little thing of dog meat that for my dog, and a big old tub of cream cheese. The cheese is there and the cream cheese, because when my daughter visits, she brings a thing of bagels and she puts those two things on it. I literally had a few women text me the next day going, I can make a meal for you. And I'm like, I'm fine. Water's good. But no, you know, Joe, it's an interesting thing. And you guys, those of you that know me, I could just be a little more expressive than I need to be, but I sort of, knowing who I was before Christ, my kids would really call and check me. Dad, you okay? Dad, you okay? And I'm just, this is what I would say between my kids. Don't worry. I'm not looking for booze or a bridge. Okay. Now you're going, what? No, you can understand. That's just the nature I took. And look, I'm not going to go back to what I was before Christ, and I'm not looking for a bridge. And you know what I mean by booze and a bridge? No. My son had an expression when we were little when stuff would go bad. He always had a positive attitude. He'd be, hey, it's all good. It's going to work out. And it's still an expression we use. And I tell the kids, I'm not looking for booze. I'm not looking for a bridge. It's literally all good in Christ. Mom is in glory. And we now have a distinct purpose to stay unified as a family, to be an example to her unsaved family, which they all are, and to glorify the Lord with the days we have. That's why we're still here. What is the only reason we are here today, June 1st, as a believer, to glorify the Lord? And so it's literally, hey, kids, pick your head up, look forward. It's about the glory of the Lord. Not about licking wounds, not about feeling sorry for yourself, not about looking back. Great, let's look back. But we got to march forward. There's a purpose for every day.
Do you have days where you don't want to get out of bed?
I did.
You did for a while?
Yeah,
for a while. How long was the cancer battle? How many years?
Seven, praise the Lord.
Seven, so yeah. She outdid the doctors by 5 years.
Yeah.
And then what was the life? What's your spiritual life like post Rachel? I mean, how does it compare? Are you a stronger Christian today than you were before the diagnosis? And if yes or no, and why?
Nutshell. And I've told my folks this, and I've told my kids this. I wish who and what I am today, and my desire for the word and the purpose, there's no more distraction, and my focus is him and the joy that I have for the years that he gave me. I honestly, Joe, bro, I wish I would have lived in this way when she was alive. So has it? It's amazing.
You can't even measure the growth. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we get there. I mean, days like today are part of it, right? What we heard in the first and second session are part of. Because we want to be that in individually as men that we can then be that way with our wives. But it just seems like it's a challenge, for sure. What a blessing, though. What a testimony. What can we learn as a church when someone has a loved one, a spouse who's dying? What did we do well, and what did we do poorly? Because we want to be good, right? There's men here are going to lose their spouses. And I'm sure we did some things right and we did some things wrong. I've always said that when we had Katie in the ER and the doctor said, do you have a DNR yet for her? And we said, we're struggling with that. She said, I understand how it is. You know, it's like putting a dog down. It's just hard to make the decision. And I go, not really. It's different. It's different than that, right? So sometimes people just say and do really stupid things.
Bro, I had.
And we don't want to. We want to be better at it. So can you help us?
I had someone say to me, if there was one thing that went wrong and it was from here, someone said to me, I really do know what you're going through because my cat died of cancer.
Yeah.
It was here. Yeah. I was like, and you know, the awesomeness about being regenerate, because if I was walking in the flesh, there would have been a knockout. But you know what? I just literally looked at the person and it was just a thing of, I actually sort of felt sorry for the person. Like, you really don't understand these deeper things. You're very fortunate that you would want to parallel those two. No, Joe, this church was amazing. There's quite a few of you in here that have only been here the last few years, don't know her, because the last 2 years of her life, she no longer could eat. She was actually fed through her veins. Everything was ripped and torn and tied up. So she was fed through her veins into her heart. It all went through the bloodstream. And then the last year, abdomen drains were having all the bile and stuff get out because it would, sepsis and explosion. So she wasn't able to get out much. But I am telling you what, I don't know if you guys have ever been in somewhere and you know the power of prayer and the fact that you literally know people are praying for her. She constantly said she could, the days of hurt, the days of pain, the days of, you know, vomiting bile and very strange things happening. The power of prayer was amazing. The text messages from people here, there were several people here. Chris Friesen, Larry's wife, her, I think once, twice a week, there was a card in the mail. And honestly, buddy, your wife, there was just Tiffany. It just, these bonds, these connections, this church did an absolute spectacular job. And when we were able to get her in the door, wheelchair or whatever, I'm telling you what, sometimes it was like, guys, I want to go home. Just stop the line. The love of this place, the care of this place, the concern, the body of Christ here literally blew my mind. And my wife's family's all unsaved. It blew their mind. How the church came together for her memorial service and everything, my unsaved family was just like, how can this be? It's Christ. Because blood relative has a place, but the spiritual relative is just this. And people that are only in blood don't understand what it is to be in the spirit.
I don't have any more questions.
Neither do I.
You're a blessing. You are a blessing to us. You're an example and a testimony. Because we're a room full of men, so there are many days where what's happening at work, what's happening with our bank account, what our wife said to us makes us want to quit. We're like, I am done. Maybe. Anybody besides me ever think I'm done? And if anybody from a human perspective could say that, it would be you. But you haven't. You've actually, it seems like here at church anyway, you've doubled down. Like you're everywhere doing everything. What can we do as a church today that would be helpful for you or your family?
Honestly, brother, just continue to pray. It just is. Everything's a milestone and a change. We just passed the 1-year mark. I did that with my daughter. Our anniversary's coming up. I think I'm with my son for that. Just trying to, because it all has, you know, it's milestones. You know, yeah, that with the girls.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all milestones. Just prayer. I mean, honestly, bro, I don't even know how to explain it, but God is so amazing. I did not possibly think that without that girl, I would be content. Yeah. I had no clue, bro. Yeah. I understood the biblical thing, but I'm telling you what, the night she passed, I was so happy for her because it was just so, and I woke up the next morning and I put my feet on the ground, and from just putting those feet on the ground, it was like, there's a reason. Let's go. God is awesome.
Yeah. Amen.
God is awesome.
Amen. Anything else we haven't covered you want to cover?
No, you know what? It's just the thing is, not super Christian guy. I got my faults. And those of you that know me know I've got faults. But I just tell you guys, don't be overwhelmed by emotions. Don't be overwhelmed by the difficulties of life. We always talk about keeping our eyes focused on the cross. Be in the word and be in prayer. Because, man, life is hard. Life is hard. Remember when you're a kid growing up and your parents are like, oh, you can be anything you want to be and life's awesome. Same lie as there's a Santa Claus. No, life is hard. And we have to expect that. But if we pursue Christ, if that is our end goal, is his glory, even in hardship, it is very clear how we're supposed to conduct ourselves for his glory. And that just literally has to be our mindset. A lot of y'all have cruddy employers. You do. You've got all sorts of it's all about a mindset of his glory in any situation you're in. And you got to dig for it sometimes, man. You got to dig for it, because on the flesh, on the surface, You don't want to be dealing with the glory of the Lord. Who do you want to be glorifying? Yourself. But just that mindset for holiness. Just gear it up and get it going, because God is absolutely awesome.
Do you you find that the attack on holiness since you've been widowed is different? That it coming in a different way? Because it would seem that, you know, as the enemy moves around like a roaring lion, that you would be a target for attack. Do you find it different?
You know, interestingly enough, again, not like God blessed me beyond measure in that, because just like when he saved me and a lot of things that were involved in my life were just able to shake free, I feel like he's guarded me from a lot of things. I haven't felt like a looking around or a wandering. It's just been, I need you. I need your word. I need to be part of this group and not stuff, outside. There's a lot of downtime, but I try to stay busy because I also know my flesh. If I don't stay busy doing something for the glory of the Lord, I'm going to get busy doing something that's not for the glory of the Lord. So my folks know this. I stay busy because I want to stay busy. Because then there's no pity parties. And then there's not this thing that you withdraw and then you, you know.
Start mailing letters to the government.
Yeah.
Let your hair grow long.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Not Praise at all. The Lord. Let's do this. Let's pray. And Pastor John has one more message for us.
It's going to be good.
This is where we hand out the seatbelts, I think.
Yeah.
So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Dave. Thank you for Rachel and her life and what she meant to this church and so many believers, her example, her testimony, how it encouraged us and caused us to cry out to you in a different way, to learn about you in a different way. Thank you for Dave's faithfulness and caring for his wife and his children during a very difficult time. Thank you, Lord, most of all for you in his life, that we get to watch a living example of one who, when we hear count it all joy and we wonder what it looks like, we have Pastor Dave in our presence. When we read all things work together for good for those who know and love the Lord are called according to his purpose, and we go, what does that look like? Then we can be reminded as we watch our brother walk this journey, which has not been easy. But he thanks you for it. Thanks you for the location of his wife at this very moment. So be with him, Lord. Build him up. Continue to give him strength. Protect him. Allow him to love and encourage his children in their walk of faith. Thank you for his ministry here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.